to order our regular meeting and special public hearing of the North Bend Planning Commission for Thursday, January 14, 2016, 7 p.m. Before we begin, I just want to start off with an expression of gratitude and thanks to you planning commissioners for returning for yet another year. I'm sure that the items that we're going to discuss in 2016 are going to be not only helpful to the city, but also to the citizens. So thank you all for your time. With that, first item on the agenda is approval of minutes for the December 10th, 2015 Planning Commission meeting. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I've read the minutes completely and I find them in order and I move it.
Motion by Mr. Ryan. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Gildersleeve. Any changes, comments, or amendments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is public comment on non-agenda items. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to comment on a non-agenda item? Please state your name and address for the record.
Travis Bridgman, 713 Ogle Avenue, Northeast. And I'm just here to be a citizen of our community and share some moments and develop these blessings that's the future of our growth and our planning and our community and friends and just the place that we live and invite. So, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next item on the agenda is item number 4, continued discussion and recommendation on the Tanner Junction Master Plan Overlay District Amendment. Before we get into a public hearing, this is what?
We have on the agenda tonight the performance standards to the cottage housing. Okay. Here, let me, do you have the January?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at the minutes.
Okay. For a minute, I actually, like, ooh.
I'm checking off the minutes instead of the,
Oh, got it.
All right. Back to the actual agenda. Public hearing and planning commission recommendation on an amendment to correct an existing North Bend Municipal Code performance standard associated with the cottage housing performance standard under table 18.10.050, which is 1.16.F, land use performance standard. So, Jenna, do you want to just let us know if there are any changes from what we discussed back in December? This is a continuation?
This is a continuation in the you know, step to have the public hearing. You know, from our last discussion, the discussion kind of centered on the word, whether we felt approximately was appropriate, and then just you guys had inquired about what is the visual impact of what we're trying to do, so we tried to include some visuals for you to help detail that a little bit more clearly. So other than that, unless you want any more, okay.
Is there, well, I show 7:06, so I'll open the public hearing and invite anybody from the public forward that wishes to speak again about this municipal code performance standard change. Seeing no one from the public rising, I'll go ahead and close the public hearing at 7:07. And ask the Planning Commission if they have any questions or comments or motions that they'd like to make.
Not at this time. I'm sure, but something I'm confused about what we're doing. I'm a little bit missing about the graphics and how they're portraying prior versus the present. Proposed language, just not understanding the differences.
Not understanding what the differences are?
They look like they're pretty similar.
So, Jenna, the first set of the existing code and then the next page proposed code?
Yeah. So, basically, what the difference is, it is hard to tell. So, if you can imagine a 1,000 square foot first floor, this regulation would say you have to multiply that 1,000 square feet by 1.5, which would give you 500 square feet. So the total floor area of the house could not exceed 1,500 square feet. So what happens in that is instead of building a two-story box and sticking a roof on it, they're actually kind of required to build a one-and-a-half story that has that is more appropriate for the size cottage housing offers. So if we just allow a standard design standards to guide cottage housing, what happens is you get a lot of small boxes in a row. This provision will break that monotony of the box up. We're still allowing the majority of the homes to be built to that standard, so we're not limiting that the ability to do a full two-story. But we are saying because of the density, we need to do an extra step of diversity to get that roof line. So when you're looking down the street, you're going to have a box with a roof on it next to a one-and-a-half story, or maybe it might have four, then a couple one-and-a-halves. So it really helps provide more of the diversity you see in downtown North Bend versus production building of new neighborhoods. And we feel because of the smaller homes, tighter density and smaller lots, it's a little more important to take another design step to create that diversity, and that's what this does. The goal is they're not required to be affordable to any kind of defined affordability, you know. However, the council's goals, and I think your goals, have been to create a zone that has the ability to, through actually requiring the restriction in size, to have another option of a home. And in theory, you know, you buy square footage when you buy a home. So in theory, these homes will be less expensive, potentially, than a larger home. Now, that being said, as you also know, when you buy a home, a lot of that price is in the finish work. So it's very important to know just because they're required to be small does not require them to be affordable. So like there are some examples in Kirkland and other places that they have some cottage housing, and they are very expensive because some of the people looking for these homes are actually the retired people that are downsizing, and they have kind of hit a point in life where they actually want the higher amenities in the house. So that actually drives up the cost. So we hope that, and we do have another developer right now looking at actually a couple parcels that are zoned cottage. And it, from what I hear, you know, the three builders that are kind of interested in this would provide, one would provide a lower price point, and the other two would provide probably about what we see right now. You know, like Polygon's building the...
The visuals are dynamically different than obviously the second page is very appealing, and they do.
Yeah.
Like this are built, are they required to have landscaping installed in the first street side? Or?
Yeah, the code, and I don't have it in front of me, but it requires that there's one tree and grass and landscaping. We don't have a detail provision, but from a marketability, that's not an area we've seen problems with. But we did require a tree because we did start seeing a lot of neighborhoods not having those trees replanted.
Understood now.
Scott, any questions?
I will
amended, excuse me, the amendment to the North Bay Municipal Code Performance Standard for Cottage Housing on Table 18.10.050.
I move that we accept the amendment as written.
Okay, so a motion by Elizabeth, is there a second?
Second.
And second by Scott. Any further comments or questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
The motion is unanimous and the change is approved. Seeing nothing on the nothing else on the agenda, do you have anything, or does anybody have anything for good of the order?
I do. Okay. I pretty much answered my own questions as soon as I looked at the zoning maps, but I still want to bring it up. We've been talking about Gateway on 436th and 136th and Cedar Falls Road in that neighborhood there. I will admit, freely admit, even though I'm a member of the Planning Commission, I did not totally realize where the city line landed in that neighborhood. And across the street from where we're talking about the apartments, that's a King County property, but it's in our urban growth area. So are they required to follow county standards or city standards when it comes to development?
That neighborhood is required to follow King County standards until we annex. And at that point, they become part of the city and they fall in our jurisdiction and our regulation.
But they're not required to update to our code unless they do certain changes, right?
Yeah, if they propose a development of some sort or addition or whatever triggers they hit, will require their compliance with our code. A development would trigger, you know.
But it's not upon annexation.
Right. But the King County zoning there is 5-acre reserve, so those are all less than that, so they wouldn't be able to add new homes. So if they were to add on, they would have to follow King County setbacks.
The home I'm looking at is in the 4 DU per acre. It's a 2-story residence. Construction line we built here about 6 years ago. And they just about got the building finished when they began moving in. They never completed the front yard whatsoever. It's basically unfinished, untouched. It has become a boarding house. Now, there's probably 8 cars parked out there at any one time. It's obvious what's going on there. It's a single family home design, but it's a boarding house. No doubt about it.
Okay.
But that would not be allowed in the city once it's annexed. Is that true, or are they grandfathered in that use?
You know, before I can really speak to it, I'd have to check it out. I don't know what the county's regulations are regarding either boarding houses or what's the term I'm looking for?
Residence.
Yeah, or co-housing or. But what I could do is send a note to our code enforcement just to do a drive-by, and if we think there's a problem, we can let the county know that we think there's a problem.
It's existed there for as many years as I know. It's just, all along I've been thinking it was a city-controlled area, but I realized that it's not. So the county has different standards, and I realize that too. At some point, that probably will be annexed with the city.
Can you point to, you said it's on what road?
It's on 136.
Where is this in proximity to the one that's like the senior housing?
It's just northerly of that.
The assisted living. I wonder if it's an expansion of that.
Wouldn't appear to be, judging by the vehicles that are parked, pretty much young looking type people living there. It's
Oh, it's up there. Oh. Okay.
Yeah, it's
off of 436.
Off of 436. But yeah. This neighborhood is right below the city line, wherever it is.
Okay, so 436. I'm taking notes. I'm not texting. Okay. Okay, so 436. I'll have somebody drive by it, and if we think there's an issue, what we'll do is we'll let the King County.
It's an issue. The issue for me is not what's going on there now, but what will be going on there within the city. You know, that is, in my view, knowing County Code, that is prohibited what they're doing there.
Okay.
But it gives me pause to realize that we're going to be annexing at some point those properties, and that kind of use is existing. That's going to be tolerated, or that's going to be, or we're going to have some effect on the existing structure.
Well, when people annex into the city, we, you know, this happened when we annexed out to Trucktown. We annexed a ton of non-conforming or code violations of a large magnitude. So what we do is we do enforce the North Bend Municipal Code for nuisances and things like that. If it's a use that was permitted under King County, they are grandfathered until they change their use. So, but if it's, you know, more of what you're telling me, it sounds like it might be, like if it was a boarding house, if that's not allowed in our zone, but it was in King County, they can continue to do that. That doesn't mean they can have cars up on blocks and those kind of things, because our nuisance ordinance handles that, and we can enforce that. So when we annexed out to Trucktown, we have been enforcing the North Bend Municipal Code on all of those types of things, yeah.
Because I was thinking about the gateway.
You're right.
That would not match up with what we're trying to do there.
No. Well, even right now, just.
Yeah, but just a comment on the gateway, and I guess just something we can talk about later, too, leaving conifers in place, and we kind of talked about it, I think, in an aesthetic viewpoint, but there's a stormwater runoff uptake and just heavy rain uptake of water that those trees do, so that's kind of their benefit, so that's why it's not, and it's kind of research that through climate change they're realizing, mm-hmm. especially in the city of Seattle, they're leaving those trees and or planting conifers instead of deciduous trees,
mm-hmm.
because if you clear those conifers and then in a development you put in deciduous trees, it's not an equivalent by any means, because the time of year when you need that stormwater uptake, those deciduous trees have lost their leaves, and so they're really no use. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and just, I know our code's large, and there's all kinds. There are, when we require replacement of conifers, and we do not count deciduous like street trees as replacement and what have you for all those reasons. So absolutely, and in fact we encourage conifers anywhere we can get a planting area large enough to accommodate it. You know, that's part of the street tree problem, but yeah, any bigger, larger open space area, we really push for the conifers for all those reasons, yeah.
Before I go look it up, can you just tell me off the top of your head if type 2 landscaping is that requirement or what the definition for type 2 is?
Ooh, type 2 landscaping requires...
Sorry.
Yeah, I could look it up real quick. Oh my.
No, don't worry about that. I didn't, if you don't know, I can look it up.
I think it's 70%... evergreen, so like 70% of the landscaping has to be evergreen. This is off the top of my head, and the rest can be deciduous. That's including shrubs and what have you.
I'm asking that because if I remember reading through the code, I saw references to type 1 or type 2, not necessarily the trees. So if you go looking in the code, that would kind of help you to know those definitions.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll be a mix of, it's not necessarily you have to.
Yeah. Where that actually plays a bigger role is in our tree preservation and tree retention requirements. So we actually, if a developer can't replace all the trees on the site, which actually happens, like the cottage developments, that scenario, we then require 3-to-1. So we're actually over time, in theory, would be replacing and then some the conifers that we currently have. So we require 3-to-1, and we allow those to be planted off-site in city areas. So that could be anywhere a city has property. And then, yeah.
Which is good, and partially is through maybe aesthetic reasons or something, habitat around the city. But I think that the one concern as we build out these 800 homes is the increased impervious surface.
Oh, absolutely.
For runoff, and especially the runoff that may go into the middle and south fork.
Right. And that's when that's coming back to your street widths, too, you know, to make sure you don't have unnecessary size roads. We have a project right now proposing it, you know? Yeah.
I saw a TED Talk on the stuff that they can use, like a microwave to heal the pavement.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, it's going to just get more and more advanced. Yeah, yeah. That, there's some really amazing stuff happening, yeah.
That they do offer a sense of tranquility that conifers may not offer. As much as I love my conifers, they got several old growth, as Scott probably does on your site. And as much as I hate raking the maples, I can't live without them. I just need to have some deciduous trees that gives me at least 4 months out of the year a little more visual space and a chance to watch regrowth and all the cycle of life. And so when I see the leaves dropping and wait for them to come back, I appreciate that time. But I do understand the conifer's functionality is quite a bit more than the deciduous trees. But in terms of livable, the qualities we're trying to establish in the community also, we just need to have the deciduous trees present.
Yeah, you know, Scott's point is really interesting, because in the planning world, 70s, 80s, 90s, the trees were coming down and the replanting plans weren't required. So as a result, the conifers were coming down and all deciduous was going back, was going up. And they were getting monoculture within cities. So as a result, now that the trend is to do what you guys are talking about, which is definitely have that balance, so you recreate the natural mix of forest within your city. And just because of street trees, you're going to get that natural mix with the deciduous, but not necessarily with the conifers. So now I think our community has actually a pretty good required code provisions relating to getting that mix, because I think you're right. They're both necessary, clearly.
Good comments.
Yeah.
Curious question of a commercial interest to the city. Jenna, if it's come to your attention, there's a private person that's been circulating information about or a desire to build a carousel either in Snoqualmie or North Bend.
Yeah.
He's landing in North Bend for some reason, but he's also talking to people in Snoqualmie. And it's a fanciful idea just to think of a carousel in the midst of all our children in the valley. It would just be something magical. But it also could be commercially important. I think he was talking about it in a way that it would be in the North Bend community as a destination for the train.
Yeah.
And that it would be intentional to advertise the carousel in North Bend, and everybody on the train and so on. That would be people that would stay a little bit longer. They just wouldn't get back on the train and right back. They'd hang out. And this carousel would have hand-carved figures, horses and other animals that would be part of the carousel. And some of the ideas go as far as housing this carousel in a glass building that it can come out, they're in the non-radiation, much like Safeco Field, I guess. But it'd be protective, so it'd be year-round use. And that has to be in probably 7 figures minimum. But the idea is still bring something like that into town that would be a year-round tourist attraction. And whether or not it has a place, just, you know, in the city at all. Now, he's talking about using the city park. I think it's Weeks, is it Weeks Park?
Mm-hmm.
Where the railroad station is? Gardens, yeah. Putting it there. And, you know, it's a great, great idea until you realize that right next to it is a transition facility where you have a lot of sick people, a lot of people who might actually really get a thrill out of that. But having a continuous carousel going on 6-7 hours a day, sometimes in the evening, that might be too much for those people because many of them don't come out. But just the idea about something like this, so radical from what we've always been thinking about in terms of tourist attractions. Just how does it sit with you guys about encouraging something like that?
It's like what's in a mall or something, the kind of
sports of animals. Well, you can look at what they've done at Point Divine Zoo and Aquarium as an antique. Is that actually breaking even for them? I'm a member at Point Defiance Zoo, and it is frequently, yes, it runs, but it's usually not very full, and at $1 or $2 a pop for a ride, depending on if you're a member or not, that doesn't bring in a lot of money. I don't think it's the primary attraction. It's a little extra. So looking at the numbers. And I know there was a carousel that was on Cannery Row in Monterey for years and years and years in one of the buildings there. They didn't make money, and I think it got actually pulled probably about 15 years ago, and that space is being used for something else. So whether or not it, as a long-term investment, becomes a curiosity. I think people are looking at things like the Great Wheel in Seattle that's drawing people. It's not quite the same thing. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Not quite the same thing, and whether or not people coming out here for the train, yes, but how many days a year is the train running? It might have a lot of business when we got the Santa train going because it would be a fit. But whether or not people would come out here specifically,
I would leave that up to his marketing. Yeah. He's asking for support of just is that some Rotary to support the idea of just. Notion of it, not raise money and in support of it, just say, yeah, that'd be kind of fun, and just let him totally work the process. He's also looking at that vacant lot across from Snoqualmie Station, which I think would be a hell of a good spot, you know, for, say, Snoqualmie, not for us, but where would we have a similar kind of a site that would be a no-brainer in terms of that kind of use, it would be an open question.
The Snoqualmie lot actually would probably work really well if they put it in the lower level of a structure with offices or other uses up above, given that it's, you know, smack in a special clubhouse area in there. But here, I guess my concern would be a private entity wanting to use public land and whether or not a lease of that sort for business that may or may not fly would be in the interest of the city. I know my niece and nephew would love having a carousel in their backyard. I just don't know in terms of long term, does the city end up with a defunct carousel sitting on a property that is now there?
Or the other way around, something that just so overtakes the area that it's not in the right spot.
Right. Do we have appropriate parking in that area? Would it stress an area that's already has parking issues? Particularly in that space. And I also agree, when you're in that transitional center, many of those people are in the process of dying. And having that kind of noise and activity outside on a more continual basis Because it would be much closer to them than the train.
That's where Jeannie Hansen passed away.
I know.
And a good friend of mine also. And they would have tolerated that kind of activity in their last days.
No.
Another element about the carousel is that it's intended to become an artistic attraction as well as I'm thinking of Anton and those guys who are carvers. They would have a high interest in participating in carving these animals, and he's a master carver himself. I'm saying he because I can't think of his name, but he's in my age category as well, into his hundreds. And but he's been carving all his life. He knows exactly what he's talking about. And just doing the carving is going to be an artistic endeavor. And it's intentional to create a carousel that is built here, not bring it here, but build it here, to the carving here. He wants to get the tribes involved in carving. He wants to use all the carving skills we have in the town to help create the animals and the look as part of this thing. It sounds, like I'm saying, it sounds magical, but the demographics of the ridge, 38% of the ridge population is 18 and younger. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have something like that. When we get Eastern North Bend built out, we're going to have a lot of family looking for things to do besides trail hiking. I think a carousel would be a very urban kind of a use, but it'd be not necessarily in the way that I used to think of carousels. They're in the seedy part of town where you had all the other stuff going on.
Or they're in a fair or kind of a fun setting with other games and activities. I heard what Elizabeth said, and I kind of agree 100% with all her thoughts that she expressed, and I kind of would like some more time to just think about it and figure out how, in a plan, it would all work together. But I definitely agree that set aside by itself, it doesn't seem like it's a viable thing, but you know, it's not going to be my dollar in that question. But I would.
It would become part of the urban fabric of our town. That's what it was. It would be an isolated thing, like out on George Brown's farm out there to get lost. But that kind of thing has to be mingled with the urban core as part of the lifestyle. Anyway, that's going around. I just wonder if the city's developing an opinion or hearing about it.
Yeah, we've talked to Ernie about it. He's come and spoke with us quite often. Just like any private endeavor, we don't necessarily think it's a, you know, we think it's a fine idea. We would need to see the details before we could really, he is proposing a very, high quality one. So with that comes a high price point that he needs to fundraise. So what we've told him is if, you know, he continues to make successes in that to keep us informed and if the timing's right, you know, and a location, you know, he's been looking at private property also, not just public. So if he finds private property, that's a business endeavor that we would embrace. If it's on public property, that's another whole gamut of questions that we'd have to dive into. And so at this point, because there is no location identified other than some options, and the only public option is the railroad depot park. But at this point, I don't know if it's far enough along realistically to engage that.
Would this require an entertainment zone? Would it be something that really wouldn't could be identified in an industrial or a commercial zone? Would that be a special zone?
No, you could build, it could be just considered a park feature. If the city wanted to build a feature on the park in partnership with a private entity, through public process, it could do that. And if as long as it's a park feature, it could be considered something of the nature. So you wouldn't have to rezone anything to allow it.
You just have to consider parking.
You would have to consider Yeah, just like any development, that's the, you know, you have to consider the impact and then mitigate those. And
be horrendous.
Yeah, depending on how big it is, you know, if it's a smaller, his vision is real grand. If it was smaller, more of a merry-go-round level mini version, you know, would it require a ton of parking? You know, at this point, I think he's got a passion, a vision, and he's brainstorming locations and fundraising options, but it's a big task he's got ahead of him, too.
Sorry, personal business that I can talk to you about after.
Okay.
So in our paper, if I can go, our next meeting appears to be a public hearing on expansion of Trucktown or not?
Right. Things move so, believe it or not, we're already a month ahead when we're doing this, but yes. So right now,
I take it that the thinking is to get public comment before we do any specific changes or?
Right now we have interim regulations prohibiting truck facilities. You will have potentially an executive session that meeting to explain why this is coming forth at this time and in the, you know, and but basically all you will be considering at this point in time is the issue of whether to continue to prohibit trucks. The larger re-evaluation of the zoning in totality would be a different effort. We have an overlay district.
This would be, it's not about the street, it's about creating a parking lot on land, I guess, for trucks, right?
Yeah, we have that area that's hashed by Travis in green, that right there, that is called your East North Bend overlay district where your truck stop is. Right now, we have interim regulations in place that prohibit additional truck centers. There has been interest in truck, you know, growing the truck centers over there. The city council has not wanted to grow the truck centers or a new one, provide a new one until the region in total participates in this kind of regional impact, because trucks clearly are high impact on our streets. And so this topic will come to you at that meeting, and you'll address it at that point. But it's,
yeah. These recent weather conditions, which has been pushing trucks onto the side roads just to get out of the way, that was a temporary arrangement by the city and the code enforcement,
Yeah, when the pass closes down, I haven't spoke to the police, but I think they're probably a little bit more accommodating because that's one problem we have is we are at the base of the mountains and we are going to have trucks and they are going to get stopped in town off and on. But that's different than the question of whether you want to allow another expansion of the existing or another truck stop facility by a different company, for example, just a whole nother development, which would grow the trucking availability of parking in the city. At this point, it's prohibited via an interim regulation. And the only reason that is an interim regulation is you, Planning Commission, we haven't had the opportunity to bring that, staff that and bring it forward to you guys because of all the work we were doing previously. This will be a mini version of probably a larger zoning, long-term zoning look at that area.
It seems like, as Planning Commission, we can be doing some long-term thinking. We realize when you shut down the freeway, it's amazing how many trucks are backed up. I mean, when we got, I refer to that snow, I saw four lanes being occupied by parked trucks getting mm-hmm. chained up. We were shut down at exit 34, and they were just mm-hmm. parked up to the summit, 4x4, just getting chains. Well, from that point, we began seeing more and more trucks pulling off and just waiting it out. And honestly, my view on that was I was glad they had a safe place to park. You know, these guys put a lot of hours in, and they needed a place to safe to park the truck safely. And I think that what we need to be doing, if we haven't, is to think about emergency parking for these trucks, identify them so they know where to mm-hmm. go instead of just pulling off in any exit, any yeah. place they can find a white spot.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that this will be a good discussion next meeting, and we'll have that, yeah, with the ones we can bring it forth to you. Yeah.
Good. All right. Next thing I wanted to just ask about is our buildable lands report, because I see that the Cedar Landing subdivision is coming up for review. And so if we can get our next meeting packet with the buildable lands report from Tom.
Oh, the activity?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's working on it actually right now. It wasn't quite ready because I asked for it today, too. So, yeah, for sure, we'll put it in.
All right. Anything else? Then I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn the meeting.
Motion by Elizabeth. Second?
I want to keep her for another hour.
You can keep me.
You can do that.
I'll second that motion.
Second by Mr. Ryan. All those in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned at 8:45.
7.
7:45.
Can I ask who actually, let me stop.